This is Robert Stark. I'm joined here today with Winston Wu. Hey, Winston, nice having you on.
Glad to be back, Robert. Great to talk to you again.
So, what I want to be getting into is this article you have. Well, there's a series of articles, but this main one is about American culture and society. And you titled this one, it's 8 Reasons Why Americans Have Repressed Their Souls. And I guess before you get started on the bullet points you have listed, can you sort of give a basic introduction to your thoughts and experiences with American culture and society?
Oh, gee, where do I start? Can you hear me okay, first of all?
I hear you perfectly.
Okay, great. Well, since 2002, I've been traveling overseas, and I've noticed so many benefits and advantages of living overseas that are just not talked about openly because it's a taboo to compare cultures. Because in America and some Western cultures too, we have a thing called political correctness, and it's not just not politically correct or polite to compare cultures, and especially in a negative way, but there are just so many benefits and advantages in terms of social, psychological, and dating wise and relationships that you can have overseas that are in a lot of ways better than in America. And I'm not anti-American. I've always, loved what America stands for. It's just that there are just so many dysfunctional problems and our culture and society and relationships have been poisoned, and people just don't talk about it, and it's people don't know that there's so many advantages overseas that I in my website and also this blog that you're reading. And so I've taken up upon myself to list these, even though they're taboo, because I really feel that they're important and that they could help a lot of people who are suffering in America from isolation or loneliness or just bad mental health problems. Because you see depressed people everywhere, and there's a lot of lonely people, and nobody else is defining these problems the way me and the people on my team are.
So the first one you mentioned is that Americans are conditioned to be single-minded, and the purpice of life is basically is to make money. And people are caught up in this workaholic lifestyle, and they don't have any free, all they're spending all this money buying material possessions, but they don't have any, and they have very little time. They don't devote their lives to actually enjoying life. Everything is about making money.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, anyone that's lived in America for a certain amount of time can see that everything is about making money, and that's true to an extent in a lot of countries, not just here, but it's just taken to a more extreme degree
Would
to
you
the.
say even more so than in Asia? I mean, countries like Japan and Korea and Taiwan have a similar reputation.
Oh, yes, definitely. And they have the same problems as in America, where people have pretty much repressed their souls, and their eyes just look soulless and empty, and they live in fear, and their only purpose and desire is to work. So, I mean, I'm not really happy in those countries either. So I tell
And
people,
that your background is from Taiwan.
So I see some of the same problems in Taiwan as in America in terms of the cliquishness and the lack of soul and passion in people, and where people are just empty, and all they do is live to work and consume, and it's really difficult to connect with people because they're just really empty inside, and just very, they seem more like zombies than people who are alive. That's why the places I consider to be more fun and alive, where people are more soulful and passionate, would be like many parts of Europe, except the North Scandinavian part. Russia, of course, Ukraine, even oh, especially Latin America, Mexico, and even possibly some parts of China too, according to what I've heard, and especially
So parts of
Southeast Asia. Yeah, but
the parts of China, like the big cities, are more similar to Taiwan, like Shanghai and Hong Kong.
yeah, I haven't been there yet, but I have a lot of friends that have, and they say that the big cities in Taiwan are similar to China. But the thing is, Taiwan is an island, and so the culture is more homogeneous. Whereas in China, you have many different Chinese subcultures, and in some of them, people are a lot more friendly and warm than in others subcultures. So you have a huge mix in China. And the different subcultures there are different. So if you don't like one, there's always other cities with different people. And so, I mean, there's like such a huge population there that there's a lot more variety of Chinese people there than you would in, say, like Taiwan or Singapore or Hong Kong, whereas people are going to be more homogenous and more workaholic and just more single-minded and just all business-like.
Yeah, I mean, you point out the Americans are conditioned to basically derive all their happiness from material possessions.
Yeah, and that's how we're conditioned to be very materialistic. But not just that, we're also conditioned to live in fear and to be afraid of other people. That's why, the America you see in the movies is so different than the America in real life. And, some of my immigrant friends have said that they thought America would be so open and wild and flirtatious because that's what the movies show. But in reality, people are very paranoid, they're mistrustful. Especially like the females in America, for some reason they just have this shield, and it's hard to start a conversation with them because they won't talk to you unless it's business related. And so, it's like climbing a mountain or something to even try to meet women in America because they're just so they just don't like to meet people. They're not open and curious, and they're just not approachable, and they seem to have this highly negative attitude when it comes to men.
But the
So
thing is, in this culture, if you approach a stranger, the assumption is either you want something from them, either you're trying to scam them, you're some kind of criminal, you're a sexual predator. That's usually the assumption because it's socially taboo to approach a stranger in public.
yeah, exactly. And what most Americans don't know is that it's not like that in other countries. I mean, in most other countries, it's not like that at all. People are much more open and curious and relaxed towards strangers. For example, in most of Europe, you can walk into a restaurant all by yourself and you can meet people. They'll invite you to sit down and talk to you. And that just doesn't happen in America. Everyone goes out in cliques and they're afraid to meet people. People don't like to meet people in America. It's not comfortable. There's an ice shield between people. And most Americans think that's normal because it's good to be paranoid because anyone could be a psycho around you, but that's not normal. People have not been that way throughout history. And in most of the 200 countries in the world, people are not like that at all. And so that was one of the biggest refreshing things I experienced going overseas. And then I realized that the problem wasn't me. We just live in a very dysfunctional and paranoid society that's not really friendly, All the friendliness in America is mostly business related. It's customer service, the fake smiles, but there's not a genuine, authentic connection with people or friendliness, which you still see in most other countries.
And even, I mean, you point this out, the alternative media is all about fear-mongering. If you listen to stuff like Alex Jones, the conspiracy shows, that everything is about, it's basically it's the same energy as the mainstream media. It's all about keep getting people to constantly live in fear.
Exactly, and what's sad is that this alternative media, I mean, they claim to be truth seekers and they claim to expose the truth, but they don't talk about these things. All they do is blame this government, globalist, New World Order, and there's a lot of truth in what they say, obviously, because they have a lot of evidence, but they just point all the problem and all the blames in that direction. Don't point out the social dysfunction in America and how it's isolating and how people are not as friendly as in most other countries. No one
Yeah,
has
I mean
to say that. It's
someone
taboo.
like Alex Jones, I mean someone like Alex Jones will say that the American people are just fine. It's just this like shadowy government conspiracy or the Illuminati, but the people themselves are just fine.
Exactly, and that I pointed that out in a few new articles, some of which I haven't posted yet, but it's kind of useless because, you know, the government is out there and you can't really do anything about it, and it's just out of your realm. It's not in your control. And most of the time, I think these claims about a police state are a little exaggerated. I mean, there's some truth in them, obviously, because the government is getting more controlling, but it's pretty exaggerated because personally, I don't get bothered by the cops or feds, you know. And usually they'll leave you alone unless, you know, you're breaking the traffic laws or running a red light or giving out pamphlets on the road that they don't like, you know. Then they might bother you, but otherwise they just don't bother you. They just tax you and give you all these expenses in America, which ironically is called the land of the free. But how can it be free when there's a lot more laws here than in other countries, and the cost of living is a lot higher than in most other countries too? So you have to be a workaholic to make ends meet here. And so in that sense, it's not the land of the free. And also, what most Americans don't know is that outside of America, I mean, most people don't even see America as the land of the free. They just see America as a rich country where they can make money, but they don't see it as the land of the free. That's kind of something that's sort of like a religion that, you know, Americans have, but most of the outside world.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of my impression of people who come here from other countries. I mean, I've met immigrants from countries like Russia, Iran, Korea, and they're sort of, they kind of have a view of America as basically like a place you go to make money or as like a big shopping mall.
Exactly. I mean, that's why they come here, because America is a good place to make money, but what they don't realize is the high cost of living and the expenses. It's also in a very expensive country that can put you in debt. Overall, you can, you know, make a lot of money and cut your expenses and then go back and save a lot of money, but, you know, the experience here is just so negative and soulless that, you see, I mean, not everyone can feel this. It depends on the person, but sensitive people, you know, if you're sensitive, you might be able to feel that, you know, there's a depressing, soulless vibe in America, and it really takes something out of you when you're here too long, or especially if you're subjected to the oppressive nature of the workplace and the demands. So there's a cost and penalty for everything, and a lot of immigrants in America are disappointed. They just, you know, it's just not polite or politically correct to talk about it. So they might talk about it with each other, but the media isn't going to cover it, and you're not even going to hear it in the alternative media, because it's not patriotic to say these things, and it's not politically correct to compare cultures, to say, oh, people are friendlier in South America than in America. It's just not, even though that's true and a lot of people know that, even American travelers know that, it's just not polite to say it in a public forum. And so nobody talks about it, even the alternative media. And but on my website, happierabroad.com, I have tons of videos and photos and testimonials and forum members that can all testify to this. And so I just have so much proof to back up what I'm saying about the social scene, the isolation, the dating scene, how you feel better and have better mental health outside of America, and how friendlier the women are, and how easier it is to meet people and connect, and people just don't draw these distinctions, these differences, because it's just not politically correct. But they're true, you know. There's true. I can swear it, that there are differences between people and locations. So it's not all about the person's attitude, you know. See, even the New Age movement has this propensity to blame the person, to say it's your thoughts and your attitudes that's creating these problems.
Yeah, I mean, the New Age philosophy is there. They say you can basically change anything by changing your mindset, but that's way too simplistic.
Exactly, and they promote things like The Secret, the Law of Attraction, and a lot of it is feel-good message, but it's just giving you this false impression that everything is in your control and all you have to do is change your thoughts. But in reality, your thoughts are a factor. They do affect your happiness, and they definitely affect your health, because we've established a mind-body connection. But that doesn't mean that everything in your life is controllable. I mean, it really depends on what area. I mean, you can't make other people not paranoid or make them more friendly. I mean, you can do things to improve your health. You can work out. You can have your positive attitude will give you better health, but it's not going to make, women more approachable or people more inclusive. That's not going to change that. That is a matter of culture and location, and because that's about other people. So thoughts are a factor, but, you know, there's many other factors, but the New Age movement tries to pin everything on the thoughts. And I think that the reason is because it is politically correct to blame yourself, but it's not politically correct to blame society or the culture. So I think that's partly why they do that.
But that's the mentality in America, that anything that everything at fault is of the person, and you can't blame society or so forth.
Yeah, it is, and you know, that's a huge flaw. I mean, there's a lot of New Age gurus that I like, you know, like Wayne Dyer, you know, and there's a lot of, they have a lot of good information that can, you know, help you sometimes. But just like a religion, you know, it's a feel good, emotional, intangible thing. But and you know, being positive is going to give you better health. But I mean, but most people in this country are not genuinely positive. I think it's just a mask, just a facade. It's kind of like a fake positivity.
It's kind of like if you go into a business, they always ask you, how are you doing today? And you're basically expected to say, I'm doing good. No one says that I'm having a bad day.
Yeah, and, you know, recently I met a girl from Ukraine who was in the work study program. And even though she thought America was a fun place, she told me that she did not like that, that whenever people said, how are you, that she had to give a positive answer, because she said that in Ukraine you don't have to do that, whereas here you have to always pretend to be optimistic and pretend that every day is a great day and that everything is going great. And even if it's not true, you have to lie and pretend to be in order to fit in. I like that aspect of this country. Yeah,
I know Americans who go overseas, that sometimes they misinterpret they say that the customer service is of a lower quality, and they misinterpret that for being rude, but they don't have this sort of a phony culture where everyone who works for a business is expected to put on this facade.
That's true. I mean, the customer service we have in America is better than in most countries, in that, I mean, it's so important for business to have good customer service. And plus, American consumers will complain a lot if you don't have good customer service, so that is an advantage in America. But yeah, like you said, it's kind of phony. And what this Russian girl that I met in Russia told me something interesting. She told me that in America, people are friendlier at work because they have to be, because they're paid to be. But when they're off work, they're a lot less friendly because they're in their cliques. They want to be left alone, and they don't socialize with you, you know, unless it's for business. But she said that in Russia, it's the exact opposite. People can be rude and grumpy when they're at work, and so they look like they have bad customer service. But once they get off of work, they're a lot more happy and open and sociable with strangers. So it's like an inverse between Russia and America. And this girl told me this, but the thing is, nobody else, you know, draws this distinction, you know, online or in the media. These kind of comparisons just aren't talked about. They're talked about only between individuals, but not, you know, not even on websites. They're not talked about, you know, except other than mine, of course.
And the thing is, Americans all tend to be drawn to familiarity over novelties.
Yeah, that's someone in the forum mentioned that, and they posted a scientific article, and I looked at the article and I thought, wow, that makes so much sense, and because I think one reason Americans don't like to meet people, why it's so hard and awkward to meet people, is that Americans prefer familiarity. They prefer people they know. And this is especially true when it comes to women, because if you talk to strangers in America, it's more likely going to be an older guy rather than, you know, a young woman. Because old, you know, men are more likely to talk to strangers than women. So
it's also an age thing. Older people are more likely to talk to strangers.
Yeah, I've noticed that, and nobody draws this distinction. older people are more relaxed and down to earth. They're less fearful of strangers. But younger people, you know, especially young women, just are much more fearful. They're much more cliquish and closed. And especially the young women, they're not open and curious. They prefer familiarity. They like they don't like novelty in people. But when I was in Russia and Europe, I mean the women were so different. They were open and curious, and they liked novelty. Being a foreigner drew all this curiosity from them. And there are scientific studies to prove this, because it seems like the article I read said that when women are shown the same picture of a man over and over again, they actually grow more fond of his face the more they see it, whereas men prefer novelty. So when they see the same woman's face over and over again, they become less attracted to her. And so there is a gender and a culture difference as well. So there's a difference between the genders.
What's the name of the specific study?
Well, it was posted in the forum, and I have a link to it I can send you, but it was it was from a credible scientific source. It was I don't really remember it, but I can send you the link to it, and you could post it sometime.
I see the link. It does have a .gov, so it's from a government site.
Yeah, it's in one of my articles. If you look at it, yeah, that's right. It's in my article. It's about 8 reasons why Americans have repressed their soul. There's a link to that.
And I mean, if you go to American cities, everything kind of looks the same. You see strip malls. Not everywhere in America, but for the most part, everything kind of looks the same, and it's bland, and there's no. The way kind of cities, the way things look, that also contributes to people's psyche.
Yeah, and you know, the architecture says a lot, because in America you're not encouraged to be creative, you're encouraged to conform, and so the architecture reflects that. The buildings are built for efficiency, not for colorfulness or soulfulness. Whereas if you go to Europe and see how the old towns are and how the architecture is, even in a small town, the architecture is soulful, it's beautiful, it's colorful, it looks historic. And that really, you know, the architecture really reflects the soul of the people. And so I don't know about you, but when I walk around the American suburbs, there's just this depressing, empty, soulless feeling. And then I ask myself, I mean, I start to wonder, well, what did our founding fathers fight and die in the American Revolution for? I mean, what was the point of the Civil War? I mean, just so we could, you know, work and consume in a soulless, empty suburban atmosphere, which is isolating as well. I mean, it just seems like, you know, what was the point of fighting for freedoms, you know, just so people could be isolated and in a soulless atmosphere where all you can do is work and consume, you know?
I think when America was created, I think there was that flaw from the beginning, because the founders didn't talk about these things. I think in a sense they kind of wanted to Americans sort of wanted to distance themselves from Europe as much as possible. But basically, America was sort of founded from the beginning as an economic arrangement, because they were fed up with taxation from Britain.
Yeah, well, I don't think they started a war just because of taxes. What I heard was that the Central Bank of England was trying to put everyone in debt. And kind of like the Federal Reserve is today. And so that's what they didn't like. They didn't like the bank printing money out of nothing and putting people in debt like our Federal Reserve does. But that's not talked about, because you're not supposed to know about that. But that's what I've heard from the alternative media, but I haven't done, you know, in any more research to verify that. What I've read in some of my research is that in the 18th century, America had this belief that they got from Europe, that in order to be free, you had to get your own property and become rich. So there was this belief that amassing wealth and property was the key to freedom. but in the end, it isolated yourself from other people. So, I mean, and that was the view of the 18th century. But what the thing is today, Europe no longer believes that. They believe that having interrelations with people is the key to freedom. You know, good, harmonious interrelationships, and you know, having a good social connection with others. Whereas in America, we don't. We still have that 18th century view that property is the key to freedom, amassing property and being isolated.
Yeah, the irony is a sort of radical individualistic mindset that America was founded on ended up leading to more authoritarianism, because when people are extremely individualistic and they don't cooperate with other people, that actually allows them to be exploited by large institutions.
Exactly, and so, you know, what they thought that, you know, that, you know, being isolated, having your own house would lead to freedom, but, you know, it just divides people, and then once it divides people and isolates people into bubbles, that makes them easier to control, too, because they don't get together, and there's no, they can't form mass movements as easily as if people were connected to each other, like they still are in most countries, and it's just gotten worse, because nowadays the family values have gone south, and people are just more and more cold and more zombie-like. And you can see it in the eyes, you know. They say the eyes are the windows to the soul, and you can see a lot. I mean, the eyes of Americans are very different than the eyes of, let's say, Latin Americans or you know, Europeans. There's just not this down-to-earth passion or soul that you see in other countries. It's like people are not alive. They're just so zombie-like, zombified. And but, you know, not everyone can see this right away. You have to kind of look for it, and it depends how sensitive you are too, because some people are more sensitive than others, and some people are more soulful than others. So, you know, if somebody is zombified and, you know, is repressed and looks like they're soulless in their eyes, they're not going to notice that other people are like that too. It's only people that are more soulful and passionate and authentic and people that are more deep will notice this. But so it really depends, you know, because like a soulless person is not going to notice that other people are soulless. It's someone who's very soulful that's going to notice that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, one thing you brought up is before the interview, when we were chatting on Skype, is I interviewed Matt Forney recently about Mark Ames's book, Going Postal, and you told me that you think a lot of the spree shootings are false flags, but the problem that I have with that sort of everything, that idea that you see in the alternative media that everything's a false flag, is I think it's actually a distraction from what is it about society that is causing people to do horrible things like that. I think this saying that everything is a false flag, I think that's actually a distraction.
Yeah, well, I haven't done a lot of research into that, but there are some really good researchers I listen to, such as Professor Jim Fetzer, who interviewed me on his show a while back. People like him have done a lot of research and uncovered that the Boston bombings and you know, stuff like that, and the Sandy Hook shooting, they've uncovered that so much evidence that it was staged, that, you know, it just makes you realize, you know, that you can't know what's true or not, because anybody can, especially in the media, can lie to you. And there's really no journalistic integrity in the media like you think. And that, you know, they'll all cover, you know, each other's, you know, asses. And you know, but I have studied a lot of conspiracies in the past, like the JFK assassination, for example, and also 9/11. And when I see how different parts of the government and media cover up, like the Kennedy assassination, and you know, cover each other's asses and will lie to protect each other in order to prevent the truth from getting out. Most Americans know the Kennedy assassination was a conspiracy, but they cover each other. They still cover each other's asses, all the different factions of the government and the media. And when you see how that happens, it just makes you so distrustful of, you know, what you see and what you hear from them. I mean, that's a classic case right there. I mean,
I agree with you. My whole thing of the alternative media is I think it deserves the same amount of skepticism as the mainstream media. Some people say because the mainstream media is a fraud, they end up like listening to the alternative media and believing everything they say. You have to be equally skeptical.
I've noticed that too, that people who are into conspiracies, you know, or the Alex Jones fans, I mean, they don't really have any critical thinking skills either, because they just believe everything Alex Jones says or David Icke says, and they just assume everything they say must be true or researched, and that's not true because they make a lot of mistakes in what they say too. So you got to take everything with a grain of salt. But going back to what I said about, you know, studying the Kennedy assassination, I mean, 1963 was when America started losing their trust and faith in the government and the media, because they knew instinctively that they were lied to about that, and plus the government didn't just lie about that assassination, but they lied about many other things to cover that up, and then they killed and silenced like 50 to 70 witnesses as well, and so the American people, I mean, they knew instinctively that the government lied, and that because Kennedy, I mean, President Kennedy was taking the country in a positive direction, you know, but after he was taken out, the country went in a very negative direction and has ever since. So people have lost, you know, before 1963, people, you know, trusted their government. The government was like a caring parent to them. But after that, you know, the trust just eroded, and so most people, you know, are cynical toward what they hear nowadays, you know, especially. So 1963 was a huge turning point in that people just, you know, lost faith in believing, you know, their government and media.
And the education system in the schools, you say that creativity is suppressed.
Yeah, I mean, there's not many art classes in schools. You know, you're just, the problem with school is that, you know, it turns you into a robot. You're taking notes during the whole class or the whole period, and then you have to memorize the notes and then repeat them on tests. See, when your learning is all about memorization and repetition, it just makes you into a conformist. It trains you to obey and do whatever you're told. It doesn't train you to think. You know, it doesn't train you to have an imagination or creativity. So it locks you down into the left brain. And it's easier to control you if you're more left-brained, because you're more subservient to authority. And David Icke has pointed this out, and so has Alex Jones. And in that sense, they're pretty accurate. I think this is pretty true. But yeah, I mean, in America, it's like that too. And one thing I've noticed that's interesting is that in America, kids tend to hate school. They tend to not want to go to school, and they, you know, they have this dislike of school. Whereas when I went to Europe, I mean, nobody I met hated school. It seemed like the kids liked school. They saw school as a positive environment, and I think it must be because the school environment there must be a lot more healthy and sane and more positive and more supportive and more natural than it is in America. And plus, I mean, there's no, I mean, people don't bully each other in other countries. I mean, there's the school bullying thing is a big epidemic in America, but it's not like a big epidemic in other countries.
So you've talked to people who've gone to school in other countries, and they back that up about the bullying.
Yeah, they have, and you can also verify this yourself. For example, if you go to Google and type in school bullying in America, you'll get so many hits and so many articles about school bullying in America. But even if you did that with England, you know, go to Google and type school bullying in England, you're going to find a lot less articles about school bullying in the UK, you know, because it's not, you know, a big problem like it is in America. It's far less common.
I'm sure it does happen, but just to a much lesser degree.
Yeah, and you know, I lived in the Philippines a couple of years, and I heard that the school bullying there is absolutely zero. People don't, you know, kids get along harmoniously there. They don't, they might steal from each other, but, you know, they don't, like, bully each other or punch each other just to show them, you know, just to show off their ego or something.
But, yeah, it's it's a culture where social status is based on being mean to other people.
Yeah, and that makes, you know, America dysfunctional because of that, you know. Because especially, you know, in cities, and it depends on where in America you live, you know. Some places are nicer than others. But, yeah, I mean, anybody can Google school bullying in America and see so many articles about it, about how it's a crisis and an epidemic. And
it's across basically all economic groups, from basically the wealthiest private schools to the ghetto.
Yeah, I mean, when I was in high school, I went to this school, high school for upper middle class kids called Mission San Jose, and I was bullied there a lot, even though people there are supposed to be upper middle class. But when I went to a poorer school like Kennedy High in Fremont, California, I wasn't bullied at all, because it seemed like kids from lower income families are not, I mean, but I mean, don't seem to be into bullying as much as people, you know, from upper middle class. But that was the case in Fremont, California. I can't say that that's the case in every city, because in other towns in America it might be different. But that was the case in my experience when I grew up in Fremont, California. But yeah, I mean, there's just so many news articles about bullying and how kids even start to kill each other as revenge for being bullied, and how even people get bullied on the bus and there was an article about a parent stepping onto the bus to help his kid from being bullied, and that parent got into trouble and stuff. And so you just don't hear about this happening in most other countries. I mean, in Europe, school is a positive thing. It's a healthy thing. And so kids like it. They don't hate it. So that tells me that there's something really oppressive in the American public schools that makes most kids not like it, you know.
So before I wrap up the show, is there anything else you would like to add about this topic of American society?
Well, to summarize, I would just say that in most other countries, the social environment is a lot more friendly, more inclusive, and if you're a free thinker, you'll especially like Europe, because people are a lot more inclusive and more open and curious, and more open to new ideas too. So they'll be on a similar wavelength as you if you're a free thinker. And so the number one, the social environment is more inclusive, more friendly, not as isolating, and it's easier to meet people in most other countries. And number two, the women are just a lot more friendly and not paranoid and more approachable. So, you know, if you're a single guy and you like women, you know, and you know you're not gay or anything, this will be a good news to you, because it means that you can, you know, meet a lot more girls and start up more conversation. All I know is that in other countries it's just a lot more easy to meet women, because they're also more down to earth, easy to connect with, and just more approachable and more feminine and more sweet and more modest. And so it's so much easier to interact with them. They don't have this paranoia or this angry negative attitude toward men. And so that's number two. You know, it's a lot easier to meet women and connect with them overseas. And number three, you just don't feel as oppressed in other countries. I mean, it's just, you just feel a lot better about yourself. You're not as depressed and gloomy, because the environment is a lot more fun, you know. I mean, in Europe, they're always celebrating something, and they'll, one holiday, they might celebrate a whole week, and it's just more inclusive, and people are more soulful. So one thing I've realized is that the reason America is isolating is not just because you have more friends or less. It's also because the people around you just don't seem alive. They seem like they have no soul. And when you're around people with no soul and you have one, then you're going to feel alienated and lonely. Whereas, you know, if you're surrounded by people with lots of souls, who are soulful and have souls and seem alive, you're not going to be as lonely and isolated. Even if you're in Europe or Russia and you're just sitting at a cafe by yourself, you're still not going to feel isolated or lonely because you're surrounded by people, you know, who are authentic and alive and have souls and have more passion than they do in America. So you're just surrounded by real living beings that, you know, are more soulful, and so you just don't feel that constant isolation. And that does a lot for your mental health. So I'd say number three is that your mental health in a lot of these other countries is going to be a lot better because you're going to feel more accepted and you're going to feel like you're surrounded by authentic, lively people. And so if you have mental health problems in America, this is good news because this could provide a solution for you. I'm not saying it's going to solve everybody's problems, but I'm just saying for a lot of people it will. I mean, myself included. So that's a major benefit too, you know, the mental health being easier to connect with women, and also, you know, the social atmosphere being more inclusive and more friendly. And I think these three major areas are what I would summarize as the most important benefits of living overseas. Plus, of course, in a lot of countries, the cost of living is cheaper than it is in America. So you can get by on less money than you can in the U.S. too. That's another major benefit. So I would add that as a fourth benefit, that most countries have a cheaper cost of living, so you don't have to struggle to make ends meet as much, and your dollar can stretch a lot further. So those are four very major benefits that are not, you know, discussed very often, not even in the alternative media, but they're important. And so I would suggest everyone come to my site to learn more, which is at happierabroad.com. So it's www.happierabroad.com, and happier is IER, like happier, more happy. And we have a big community that's really popular now and growing, and I have a ton of articles that back this up, and pictures and video clips and a big forum with a lot of people you can talk to about these things too. So yeah, we have a thriving online community, so I'd suggest anyone that is interested in this to come to my website to learn more.
Winston Wu, I'd like to thank you for being on.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. It was great to talk to you again.
That's all we have for today's show, so take care, and we'll be back with you next time.